podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
So, as Pastor Jenny said, Passion has been in a couple different series over the past couple years. Last year, we focused on the spiritual disciplines, which were incredible to uncover and talk about. And then this year, we're focusing on voices. And so today, I am actually going to continue that topic of voices, and we're going to talk about the voices of knowledge and wisdom. And so I was thinking through all of this and uncovering a lot about knowledge and wisdom, and I have to be honest, originally I thought this was going to be called knowledge versus wisdom, but I realized that you can't have wisdom without knowledge. It's kind of impossible. You have to have a starting point, which is what knowledge is. And this exists from the beginning of time because there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so that in and of itself tells me that there is good knowledge that I can partake of and there is bad knowledge that I can partake of. And I have to know the difference. And so knowledge is actually facts and information or a skill acquired by a person. So I can be knowledgeable about a lot of different things, or I can be knowledgeable in the fact that I can actually do something. So I play guitar, so I'm knowledgeable about playing guitar because it's something that I practice and something that I do. But wisdom comes in when the quality of knowledge comes into play. And the quality of my experience, I had very good teachers. And the quality of good judgment comes into play. And the problem is that we live in a world of people who are so ready and willing to share their knowledge with us about everything and anything. If you go on Twitter or Facebook for 2.5 seconds, someone is shouting some kind of knowledge at you, I promise. They are willing to share it. They are ready and willing to share it. More than that, they're ready and willing to fight for it. And so, but knowledge, as weird as it is, it's kind of a fluid concept because it was once really knowledgeable to say the world was flat, but it's not anymore. And so knowledge grows and it changes and it evolves. And one thing that doesn't is God and his truth and his word. Because it was the same at the beginning as it is at the end. And so the knowledge that we acquire from the world is kind of evolutionary, but the knowledge that we gain from Christ and from God, man, it's a solid foundation. And so I looked up where we get knowledge from, because I can't protect a door that I don't see. So if knowledge is coming through an avenue that I don't know about, then I have no way to guard it. And so I started looking about where I actually receive knowledge from. And this is not a Christian article. I think it came from like Psychology Today or something off Google. Yay. Google's dangerous when it comes to knowledge, by the way. We'll talk about that a little more. But we acquire knowledge through practice. As we talked about before, we ask other people their opinions, their beliefs. We acquire knowledge that way. We experiment with things to acquire knowledge. If you put a fork in a light socket, you've acquired some knowledge. Not great knowledge, but you've got it. Don't do that again. So we experiment with things. We teach others. That helps us acquire knowledge. I know that in preparing for this, in preparing a teaching, I acquired a lot of knowledge about knowledge, which is, you know, kind of rabbit traily. We can read, we can write, we can listen, we can observe, we can reason. That's dangerous sometimes too. And so all of these things are ways that we can actually gain knowledge and gain all of this understanding for ourselves. But acquiring knowledge without wisdom never actually allows us to be teachable people. And so if all I am is all knowledge, then I never have the ability to fully operate in the body of Christ either, because no one can teach me about their part of the body. And so when I live as an arm, let's say, if I know everything there is to know and no one's ever going to be able to instruct me, like my brain, about being an arm, that I'm never actually going to walk in the full capability that I'm supposed to have within the body of Christ. So if all we are is knowledge and all we acquire is knowledge and we have no wisdom, then the body of Christ is left kind of disjunct and not quite operating the way that it's supposed to, because no one is teaching anyone else, because everyone just knows everything. And so as we get this onslaught of knowledge from the world, I'm like, okay, how do I sift through that? Because I can Google pretty much anything, and I get thousands of articles about from knowledgeable people about this topic or this subject. And the thing is that knowledge is based on facts. So it's something that exists. It's like that keyboard. It exists. The fact that that's a keyboard is a fact. It's something that's seen. But the problem with facts is that my Bible says that we're to fix our eyes not on what is seen. We're supposed to fix our eyes, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So the problem with gaining all of this knowledge all the time is that I am continually pouring my energy and myself into things that will one day be obsolete or pass away. So if all I ever do is gain all of this knowledge and all I'm ever fighting for is earthly knowledge or fighting against these other people with their knowledge, then all I'm ever doing is winning a battle that's not going to matter at the end. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Those realms are so unseen. And how dangerous is it that we have Christians getting distracted on the battlefield by things that don't matter? And we wonder why so many of our fellow Christians are failing, because no one's there to watch their back. No one's using their wisdom or applying the knowledge that God has given them to cover each other. Instead, we're off fighting against this person on Facebook that you don't even know, nor does their opinion about your life even really matter. And we're getting so distracted with that battle that we're losing the one that's happening in places that we don't see. Because we're not focusing our attention, we're not focusing our mind, we're not asking God for his knowledge and how to fight for our brother and sister who are going through something really hard. And sometimes we're so distracted that we don't even know that they're going through anything. And so when we take on this onslaught of knowledge, what we're doing is we're sacrificing the armor of God, because we're not really picking up the sword of truth. We're not really contending with anyone. And the reason that we put on the full armor of God isn't just so that we can protect ourselves. It's so that we remember that we're actually in a battle. The weight of that armor will weigh heavy on you spiritually and will remind you to focus on the eternal, not on the temporary. But where does truth come into this? Because I was looking through all of this knowledge, and I'm like, okay, God, so you're talking about facts, and you're talking about experience. What about truth? Now, to the world, truth is a state of a certain matter, or, and this is the kicker definition, what a person has come to believe. So to the world, truth is relative. And you've probably heard this in some kind of context. That's not my truth. That's your truth. Oh, well, you see, but John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 8:31-32, it said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, you will know me, and the truth, I, will set you free." And so the coupling of truth with knowledge leads to wisdom. And so you have to bring Jesus into this knowledge that you're gaining all the time. And young people, please be aware of this when you were in college. you have to bring Jesus with you to college. There are a bunch of people who are willing to feed you a lot of their knowledge. It's not always good to eat it. So bring Jesus with you. And man, okay, pause. That's why the internship is so vital. Because what they're doing is they're preparing your students to go to college with a firm foundation that's actually going to help them to bring Jesus into their classroom with them. So when their teacher said something that's false, no, they don't have to stand up and cause a ruckus, but they could say, no, that's not my truth. That's not what my God says. You're talking to someone who, I love space, I love astronomy. I took an astronomy class. When I tell you that there were some things in that class that I said, no, that's not it. But I had to know. Because if I wasn't grounded in the truth, and I didn't invite Jesus on campus with me, then man, it's so easy to get lost. There's a reason it says he's the way, the truth in the life. Because he shows you the way through all the chaos. His truth brings a way and light. His truth brings freedom from the desire for worldly knowledge. Can I tell you that, like, the desire for worldly knowledge is real? We like to be knowledgeable. We like to know what we're talking about. No one likes to be like, I don't know. But man, there's also, when we desire that, it's such an unhealthy desire because it's so selfish. Because we want to be known. But when we submit to the truth, God brings freedom to that. And he's saying, no, you don't have to desire those things. You desire me and I'll bring truth. You desire me and I'll give you the knowledge that you need when you need it. Because he's loving and he's faithful. I don't give my daughter all the knowledge that she needs because she's about to be three. I don't give her an onslaught of knowledge. Why? She's not ready for it. But over time and over a journey and as she grows, yeah. And do I want her to come to me with those questions? Absolutely. Why are we so unwilling to let God do the same? To parent us. To show us the knowledge that we need when we need it. Not just give it all to us at the same time. The funny thing about the world preaching so much knowledge to us is that when I looked up how to obtain wisdom, the only articles I found were spiritual in nature. So a lot of people crave to be really knowledgeable in the world. Very few actually crave to be wise. They all crave to be experts. They all crave to be heard. But no one's actually wanting to use that knowledge for wisdom. And at the end of the day, what does being right really get you? When it's all said and done, good, you were right. For all my married people, have you ever gotten to the end of that fight? You're like, congratulations, you were right. Good job. Everyone's like, yeah, been there. But I won. Good. Did that get you something? And so when all we crave is knowledge, that's all we're really craving is to be right. But maybe we should inventory our hearts and figure out what that actually gets us at the end of the day. Or in light of eternity. And so I found an article by Dr. Art Lindsley on steps for gaining godly wisdom. The first step is fear of the Lord. It's actually in Proverbs, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's legit. And that fear, man, going back to the battlefield example, that fear that we're talking about, it's a healthy fear, because I never knew a soldier in battle who didn't have a healthy fear of his commanding officer. It's respectful. It's saying, no, you're in charge, you're powerful, you have the details that I don't have yet, so I'm going to go where you tell me to go, and I'm going to be where you're going to tell me to be, and I'm going to protect who you tell me to protect. because you have it all in your hands and I don't. But there's also a healthy fear that he's powerful and more powerful than them. The second way, and this also actually goes hand in hand, because when you fear something, you're humble toward it. There's an air of humility there. And so the second way that you can gain wisdom is to be teachable. And that takes humility. And that comes from the fear of the Lord. I think God wants us to be hungry to learn. He just wants us to be hungry to learn the right things that aren't self-seeking, that aren't self-gratifying, that aren't self-promoting. But if we seek out the things, man, that he wants to give us, where he's like, this is how you glorify me, this is how you worship me. We were created to worship God. So what he's teaching you is he's teaching you how to be fulfilled in your life. The third way that we can gain wisdom is to learn from the wise. Who are you associating with or getting your information from? Do you know how many articles I've looked at on Google and accepted information at face value, never even peeking to see who constructed that article? I don't know them from Adam, and yet I'm taking all of their info and letting it into my spirit and my heart and my mind. But I never checked. I never made sure. I never made sure that they were following the word of God. So who are you allowing to speak into your life? Number four, we have to watch out for spiritual entropy. I had to look up the word entropy. Entropy is a decline into disorder. Have you ever gotten on Facebook and thought, this is sheer chaos? Like sheer chaos. Everything, everywhere, everyone having an opinion. And I'm just like, I don't even know where to go with all of this. But my God is a God of order. And we have to continue to listen to that knowledge given by the Heavenly Father, because he orders it for us. Because while the world screams at you to pay attention to this issue or that issue, God's saying, no, I want you right here. Because this you can change. This I've blessed. This I can come into and I can work with. This is where I have you. And so many of us are on Facebook trying to fight battles that God never called us to. We're so hungry to fix the world that we're trying to fix everything at one time. And man, that's hard, because even the Jews were looking at Jesus and they were going, no, you were supposed to come and you were supposed to do this and you were supposed to do that and you were supposed to satisfy this and you were supposed to satisfy that. And God's like, no. I came to do this one thing. And now that it's complete, I'm being called home. So we have to focus on what God is calling us to. Otherwise, we get so distracted. Number five, we have to seek wisdom every day. How do we do that? Spiritual disciplines. I'm teaching the summer interns, shout out, a spiritual disciplines class. We're having fun. We did fasting this week and study, right? Yeah, I gave them like two of the hardest ones on the same week. Bad teacher. But we did fasting and study together. And man, these are not easy, because these are countercultural. But that's how we know what wisdom is. We spend time in prayer. We study the word of God and pay careful attention to it. We use it in context and invite other people to share their wisdom with us on the word. We meditate, focusing on God and his will. When's the last time you shut everything off and just focused on the will of God? That's it. Fasting is a reminder of the source of nourishment, not only for our bodies, but for our souls. Simplicity is seeking God's kingdom first. Not my kingdom, not the person's kingdom, his kingdom. Solitude is withdrawing from the world to spend time with God. This solitude, man, I have been so convicted preparing this one. Get ready, guys. Sorry, we're doing solitude next. It's going to be good. But man, this hit me so hard that I would withdraw from all of my distractions and just listen. How awkward is it to listen sometimes? And there was a quote in the book that I'm reading, and man, I love it. It said that we live in a world that creates so much busyness in us that we've come to believe or accept that waiting on God is a waste of time. And I read that, and I felt that in my whole soul. A waste of time. Man, and let that drive you to repentance. Don't just sit there and berate yourself over that. Man, let it drive you to do a 180 and actually go after God and say, no, I'm going to practice solitude, and I'm going to go after, and I'm going to turn off the world, and I'm going to listen to what you're saying to me. Service is the supportive action toward others. Submission is placing God's will above one's own. Confession is acknowledging one's sin with and to others in the community of faith. It's one of the reasons why our accountability groups even exist, is because we studied the spiritual discipline of confession. Matt did a great job with that. Then there's worship. Oh, worship. The definition of worship got me. Giving God glory through attitudes and actions. Yay. And that's in every season, that you just give God glory. Guidance is giving and receiving direction from others along the journey with Jesus. There are some really wise people who sit beside you on Sunday mornings. You should talk to them. They're awesome. Celebration. I think this one actually gets like put on the back burner a lot, is taking joy in what God has done. Taking joy in the fact that he bridged the gap, that he didn't leave us in our sin. Taking joy in the fact that he does offer us knowledge and he does offer us wisdom. Taking joy in the fact that he saved you, that you woke up this morning, that you're here at New City Church. Take joy in things. The worship team can come on up. In the Holy Spirit, in these spiritual disciplines, is how you use and effectively sift through knowledge and gain wisdom. And there's one part that comes into wisdom that I can't neglect, and that's faith. Because all of the knowledge in the world is not going to tell Moses to hold a staff over some water and it's going to part. Not in a million years. No knowledge is going to tell, no advisor to Joshua is going to be like, hey, if you walk around the wall, I think that'll work. Just walk around it. It'll be fine. It'll come down. No person who's knowledgeable or even a wise person could tell me that, and I'd be like, you're joking, right? But man, when I listen to the voice of God and I have faith in what he's telling me to do, that faith changes everything. And so faith is so much a part of wisdom as well, that we have to have faith in this word. We have to have faith that it's a solid foundation. I was studying for this message in my office, and as previously mentioned, I am a fan of stars. I love them. And my amazing husband got me this gift for Mother's Day, which was so sweet. And it is a picture of the constellations right above the exact place and at the exact time that I became a mom. And yeah, he knows me well. He's a great gift giver. So sweet. But I started thinking about space and stars. And I learned in astronomy class, I learned about something called light pollution. And what happens is that when you're in a city or you're in a place, the man-made light that we have actually hides the light in the sky. And we would never say that the light is necessarily bad, because it helps us find our way, it helps guide us, all of that. But when we lose sight of the light that God has provided us, because we're surrounded by too much light pollution of the world, we have to take the time to withdraw and focus on the light that God has provided us with. And so in Philippians 2, 14 through 16, it says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." Because when we don't get distracted by the world's light and we don't get distracted by the world's knowledge, then God is able to dwell within us, and we're actually able to be the real God-given light to a very dark generation. And even when people see the artificial light, they'll know the difference. They'll say, "Wait, your light shines a little brighter and it burns a little deeper. What is that light?" And we're able to share the love of Christ with people because we took the time to weed out everything that's getting thrown at us. We took the time to accept his knowledge and his wisdom, because godly knowledge tells me who God is, but godly wisdom shows me how to show it to other people. And so we're being called into his wisdom and into his knowledge so that we're able to share his love with others, so that we're able to shine like stars to those around us. So this morning, if you would say, "Man, I don't know that I've even ever really chosen to focus on Christ or his love or his wisdom," or heck, if we're being real, even his knowledge. If so, I want to give you the opportunity to make that right this morning. So if you guys can put up the salvation prayer, it's not going to be a raise your hand kind of thing, though if you are saying this prayer for the first time in your heart, I hope that you come and find one of our altar workers at the end and you're able to talk with them. If you can't find them, please find me. I would love to speak with you. We're going to say this together, and every eye is going to be open and every head is going to be lifted, because it's a proud moment. So if you could just repeat after me, we're going to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I know that I'm a sinner, and I repent for my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Today, I have been made new. And from this day forward, I will follow you." Amen. We're going to go into a time of worship, and I realize that this is all very personal. The knowledge that you take in, the wisdom that you receive. And so as we enter back into worship, I would just encourage you to just take stock of what you've allowed into your life. Maybe there are some things that you need to lay at the altar. Maybe there are some exchanges that you need to make for worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom, and worldly knowledge versus godly knowledge. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. We're going to sing "So Will I," which actually talks about the stars. And I would encourage you to practice those spiritual disciplines. Get into the Word of God. There's so much knowledge there, but it's knowledge that's going to make a difference in eternity.
listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.